Picture this. Your wife or partner and you are driving along one day, rushing about to tackle the numerous errands you have planned for the busy morning. Back home, your two daughters are working to finalize their plans for a birthday party for their favorite uncle. Your errands take you all over town, and the Saturday morning traffic is starting to build. And then suddenly, in the blink of an eye, your car is struck in the passenger side, T-boned at a busy intersection. It all happens so fast, you have no time to think or react. You feel pain throughout your body, and you manage to look over into the passenger seat. Your wife is bleeding and not moving. The last thing that you remember before you pass out is the distant sound of an ambulance siren. Your daughters arrive at the local hospital and are ushered quickly to the emergency room. They find you in a condition that no one ever wants to see. The doctors explain to your daughters the severity of your injuries and that some difficult decisions will have to be made regarding their treatment. He then asks, "Who has the authority to make medical decisions on behalf of your parents?" The girls look at each other, confused, and ask the doctor, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" The doctor tells your daughters that there's a chance that your wife and you may never resume consciousness, and that someone will have to make medical decisions on your behalf. "Do your parents have a health care power of attorney or a living will?" the doctor asks. The daughters respond that they have no idea and they've never heard of these types of documents. In a heightened state of emotion, the girls look at each other and ask, "What do we do now?" Hi, I'm John Gigliello, certified financial planner with the Albany Financial Group, and you are listening to Invest in Knowledge, a podcast about all things financial. After a life-altering health issue at age 39, my calling in life became clear: to share my knowledge of personal finance with people who are looking to make smart and responsible choices with their money. Only through education, action, and accountability can you build the confidence and security that you need to live a satisfying life. Today I'm going to talk about a subject that, frankly, no one wants to talk about: the five essential documents of a complete estate plan. Honestly, I hear it all the time in practice. Right around when we get to the part of estate planning in a client's financial plan review, I'll ask about these estate planning documents, and the answers are typical. "We have some of these, but they're probably 30 years old or so," a couple might say, or, "We have something, but not quite sure where they're at." It's just not a priority for many people because we don't like to think about these things. So hopefully over the next several minutes, I can change all of that for you. First of all, we're going to talk about the healthcare power of attorney, otherwise known as the durable power of attorney for healthcare. Now, this is a document in which you appoint a decision maker, called an agent, to make healthcare decisions on behalf of a principal who is unable to make those decisions for him or herself. Unlike the living will, which we'll talk about in a moment and states that a person's wishes regarding the sustainment of life, the durable power of attorney for healthcare puts healthcare decision-making in the hands of a third person. Let me say that again. The durable power of attorney for healthcare puts healthcare decision-making in the hands of a third person. The healthcare power of attorney is typically what's known as a springing power of attorney, meaning the agent can act on behalf of the principal only when the principal becomes incapacitated. Also, the healthcare power of attorney only remains in effect while you are alive and voids after death. Number two, the property financial power of attorney. This is a power of attorney designed for a specific purpose and that is for the principal to manage the property and financial affairs of the agent. Now, there are two common forms of the property financial power of attorney, and they are, number one, durable in nature, and that provides for the continuous management of property affairs in the event of the principal's disability and or incapacity. Now, this ends at the death of the principal. Another common form is the general power of attorney, and it's much broader in its terms and basically gives the agent the power to do anything that the principal could do. As with the property financial power of attorney, this general power of attorney ends at the death of the principal. If you try to go to a bank with a POA after death, the bank will not comply. Sometimes questions arise, well, why can't we just have one power of attorney to cover everything? Now realize that everything that we're talking about in this podcast is really regulated at the state level. And many states get to regulate in the sense that they just don't want doctors to have to rely on interpreting legal documents that might be all jumbled together on one power of attorney. So that's why these matters, financial and medical, are usually kept separate. The third document is known as a living will, which we referenced a little bit earlier. Now, the living will is also known as an advanced medical directive and usually accompanies the healthcare power of attorney. It's actually not a will at all. The living will is a legal document expressing an individual's last wishes regarding sustainment of life under specific circumstances, such as end-of-life scenarios. In essence, it allows folks who are terminally ill to die on their own terms or to die with dignity. Now, some of you listening may remember the Terry Schiavo case early in the 1990s. It was truly a tragic story of whether to sustain life or not. You see, at age 26, Terry suffered cardiac arrest, which led to a long-term brain damage and eventually a comatose state. Schiavo's husband and legal guardian did not want to sustain this type of lifestyle for his wife, and after several years, ordered her feeding tube removed. Now, he was opposed by Terry's parents, who saw things quite differently. They opposed the husband in many years of court proceedings to sustain the life for their daughter. The courts finally decided in favor of Terry's husband, and the feeding tube was removed. Terry died on March 31st, 2005, 15 years after her cardiac arrest. The fourth document is something that we really don't think about much, but it is really important, and that's called a HIPAA release. Now, of course, many of us know that HIPAA regulates the privacy of our medical records. It's a release form that allows healthcare providers to share a patient's protected health information with specified individuals or organizations. And it's really important, again, because it allows close family members to access medical information, and it can be revoked at any time, and it stays in effect unless it is revoked or expires under the terms of the specific document. Now, we've probably all experienced an instance of trying to gain access to a loved one's medical condition only to be turned away due to HIPAA laws. With this important document, it is basically telling the medical community who they can and who they cannot talk to. The fifth and last document is probably the most popular, and we all know it. It's your typical will or testamentary document. Now, a properly drafted will can eliminate many of the problems that can arise from dying intestate or without a will. So, in other words, a will states, when I am gone, here's what happens. Now, some advantages of a will would be you get to select an executor or a personal representative of the decedent to administer the estate. You get to transfer assets that do not automatically transfer at death. And you can designate a guardian for minor children and any dependents. Now, of course, there are some limitations to a will. the potential for parties to contest the will, especially if someone feels that they've been disinherited from the estate, exists. The courts may have the power to invalidate certain restrictions in a will that put impermissible conditions on the receipt of those assets. And of course, a will is part of the probate process, which is the orderly processing of one's estate through the court system. However, this process can be time-consuming and very expensive. Now, we haven't talked about this document. Now, a trust would also be a suitable substitute for a will, and it can typically be customized to a greater degree. But I'm going to save that for another podcast episode, I promise. And there you have it, a general overview of the five essential documents for a complete estate plan. Hopefully, if I piqued your curiosity to the extent that you'll give these documents a little bit more consideration. Of course, we always encourage you to take part in the financial planning process to help secure your financial future and, in turn, feel optimistic and proud about your accomplishments. Knowing that I've provided education and a plan for my clients has allowed me to turn my own personal challenge into a gratifying journey. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Invest in Knowledge, and please reach out to me if you have any questions. Have a great day. John Gigliello is a registered representative with and securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Private Advisor Group, a registered investment advisor. Private Advisor Group and Albany Financial Group are separate entities from LPL Financial. The material is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Individual tax and legal matters should be discussed with your tax or legal professional. The material in this podcast was derived in part from the following sources: CincinnatiEstatePlan.com, Estate Planning for Financial Planning, 6th edition, Dalton and Langdon, copyright 2011, and from Wikipedia.org regarding the Terry Schiavo case.